Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just an announcement. The team captains for the Olympics tonight, they met tonight and or this morning, and they've decided to let Rezzy Stiegler, she's going to race tonight in the giant slalom. So the Jackson Hole, Wyoming native, Rezzy Stiegler, will be racing tonight at midnight, our time, but their time, in the giant slalom. So there'll be a Wyoming person racing tonight. Very exciting. The team captains just made the decision.
Other privileges of the floor. Seeing none, we will resume work on House Bill 1, the budget. Next up is Section Number 14, Miners Hospital Board. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just before we get started, the good chairman of appropriations indicated that we would keep the boards and commissions till last, and that's true except for two. This one and one that will come a little later that are actually more agencies than they are boards or commissions. So, Mr. Chairman, I move Section 14, Miners Hospital Board. It's on page 9 of your cheat sheet and page 20 of your bill. The Joint Appropriations Committee accepted the governor's recommendation of a total budget of $7,536,407 with no changes or footnotes to it. Are there any questions?
Any discussion? Question being called on section. Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is in regard to the mobile testing unit, and I had discussions with Representative Burkhart briefly about this. Could you just explain the $1 million that was cut out of that?
Representative Crone, Mr. Vice Chair Crone.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Chairman.
Hold on just a second until we get through section 14.
Yep, sounds good.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question was, is the $1 million that was removed from the mobile testing program that the Miners Hospital Board had, and the answer to that question is that $1 million was removed at the full discretion of the board. They removed it on their own. It was not a budget adjustment or anything like that, and they have the discretion to do that with these funds. These funds are set up by constitution, and they can draw out of the account and use the interest in any, really, in pretty much any way they wish to.
Other discussion on section 14? Question being called. All in favor of section 14, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Section 14 is passed committee of the whole. Mr. Vice Chair Crone.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for my voice, but I would like to welcome to Cheyenne, Wyoming, a great group of kids from Cody High School, Cody, Wyoming. Go Bronx, go Bronx. Here they are, Youth for Justice. They'll be here educating you on two bills. So please welcome them to the House.
We are now on Section 15, Attorney General, Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Section 15. This is the Office of the Attorney General. If you go to your cheat sheet, it's page 21 in your bill. Cheat sheet's page 10. Basically, it's pretty self-explanatory. The only really significant thing that happened on the budget was the governor asked that we add $1.2 million into the budget to replace it's a total of seven positions, which were eliminated in 2009 by the Attorney General's office. These are basically task force officers around the state. But then the ARRA funds came in, and so between 2009 and 2012, and up until now, we received $5 million from the federal government through the ARRA funds to continue these positions. These positions were eliminated by the Attorney General back in 2010 as being the easiest and least desirable for him to cut out, and so that's why they cut them out, but then they were refunded. They came back to us and said, now let's put these in the regular budget, and the Joint Appropriations said, no, it's the IRA funds are gone, so let's go back to the recommendation of the AG back in 2010. Other than that, then we adopted the Gov's letter for $200,000 for a child advocacy centers around the state of Wyoming on the exception budget. So I would move the bill.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the Attorney General's amount in criminal investigation, law enforcement, whatnot, is there some place where the lawsuit of the with Montana is included in here? And I think it's an ongoing, unsettled case, although we've got some victories there, but it's not completed, I don't think. I want to make sure that funding is available. And perhaps it's there, and I just can't see it.
Representative?
Yeah, the funding is being generally funded out of the regular fund of the AG's office. I understand that they had arguments about two or three weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, and so I believe now the case is basically being reviewed by the courts, but the funding's there for
it. Other discussion? Any other discussion? Question being called. All in favor of Section 15, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 15 is passed Committee of the Whole. We are now on to Section 20, Department of Environmental Quality. For your first time, Representative Lickery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 20, Department of Environmental Quality. If you look on page 11 of your data sheet, cheat sheet, and page 22 is where it is in the budget bill. The JAC adopted most of the governor's recommendations. One exception is down below. They added 75,000, or we, I guess, added 75,000 general funds to improve electronic permit filing system, which you can see on page 22 of your budget if you'd like to. They also added a Section 303 carryover appropriations to allow the department to spend previously appropriated funds for its paperless office computer system. And they reduced by almost $55,000 in general fund for a correction in the board salaries calculation. And then the governor's letter number 6 recommendation was to deposit $15 million general fund into the municipal solid waste cease and transfer loan and grant program accounts, and they moved the funding to Section 333 municipal solid waste cease and transfer loan and grant program. Those are the changes. Otherwise, it goes exactly along the governor's recommendations for a total of $145,998,000. Are there any questions?
Discussion on Section 20, Vice Chairman Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This budget, I think, had over $200 million in it last year, and now it's sitting at $143. Was there a reason for that?
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just want to be confirmed that we have $15 million additional funds into landfills, although somewhere else.
Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, would you ask Representative Freeman to repeat that question, please?
Representative Freeman, would you repeat that question?
Hopefully I can repeat it better. The question I have is, are we putting an additional $15 million into landfills this year in addition to what we've already saved?
Mr. Chairman?
I'm going to call Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The answer to that first question on that the good representative from the western part of the state had was that $100 million was a reduction in AML funds that we will not receive because of all the issues with AML funds.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, and maybe for the chairman of approach, on the municipal solid waste, as I see it, we're saving another $15 million. We're just using it for the cease and transfer instead of the remediation. The question I have, though, is do we need to, because, you know, we're still waiting on the Senate to approve our priority list to release the funds from last year. Do we need to address that in some sort of contingency?
Chairman Harshman.
The first question was about the $15 million, and it doesn't show up in this bill. Or in this section, it's actually in 300 sections. And it is with the cap and transfer, cease and transfer. We've moved that into that area, and that's where the most of the work. And I think you'd have to repeat that second question for me. I didn't.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman. Yeah, my concern, we're waiting for the Senate to approve our priority list to release that $5.5 million from last year's supplemental budget for cease and transfer. Do we need a contingency item to go along with this footnote in case that isn't approved? Or am I something we just discuss later?
Chairman Harshman.
Well, it's kind of hard to, Mr. Chairman, I would say that I think that would be probably left to your judgment. I don't think so, but... There's other folks who worked in that on those issues and know more about it than I do, and I think that's something you'll have to watch as that comes across. So at this point, I say no. I hate to kind of add all these things in the budget bill, but especially when a bill's on its way. But we'll just kind of have to watch that, I guess, over the next week. Thank you.
Representative Blickery.
Are there any other questions?
Any other discussion on Section 15? Section 20, DEQ.
Mr. Chairman, I would call for the question on Section 20.
Question being called on Section 20. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 20 is passed Committee of the Whole. We are now on Section 21, Department of Audit. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 21, Department of Audit. It's on page 12 of your cheat sheet and page 23 of your bill. The JSA accepted the governor's recommendation with one exception in the excise tax division. The JC modified $900,000, removing it from general fund as the funding source in this division, and added footnote number one specifying that the revenue is collection agency licensing fees from Fund 031, the collection agency board. The Department of Audit and the collection agency board work together on these things, and the collection agency board does pay the Department of Audit a certain amount of funds to assist them with this. And that's the budget for Section 21.
Discussions?
Any questions?
Question being called. All in favor of Section 21, Department of Audit, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 21, Department of Audit, has passed Committee of the Whole. We are now on to Section 23, Public Service Commission. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Section 23, Public Service Commission, which is found on page 12 of your cheat sheet and page 23 of the budget. JAC went with the Gov's Rec on this particular agency. You'll see that this is not a generally funded agency. There's a little bit of federal funds, but the rest are special revenues generated typically from the regulated utilities. So pretty straightforward, but are there any questions? I don't see any questions, so I'd move to close Section 23.
Question being called on Section 23. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 23 is passed Committee of the Whole. We are now on to Section 24, State Parks and Cultural Resources. Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 24, State Parks, Cultural Resources. You can find that on page 13 of your cheat sheet, page 24 of your budget bill. In that first footnote, there is a typo there that was actually supposed to be $300,000 general fund. We did reduce it by $50,000, leaving, it should say, $250,000. If you look in those cultural resources where it says 1, 2, 3, and 4, in that line, that money is actually embedded in that, so that is actually just a typo. Number two, we adopted Governor's Letter Number 12 his recommendation of $100,000 general fund for We the People. And in number three, we added footnote number two specifying that $300,000 of general fund for Arts Council grants be one-time funding. And footnote number four directed the state auditor's office to deposit $400,000 general fund for the cultural trust of the cultural trust fund. And if there's no questions, I move section 24.
Vice Chairman Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Looking at, and I guess this goes to a lot of the items that we're talking about, the capital construction items that are in the back of our cheat sheet, there's about $7 million for parks and recreation. That is not, doesn't have anything to do with the budget that we're doing right now. That's separate from this one and for all the other agencies. That's correct. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Minority Caucus Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just a question for the JAC member. Could you give us a little bit more information about the decrease in the Humanities Council grants, and what's the meaning of making the Arts Council grants one-time funding only? Because it's been my understanding that that has been recurring funding. Thank you.
Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Number one, capital construction. We'll deal with that all in one bill, in one section of the budget. In the governor's letter on the Humanities Council for one-time funding, that was mostly because the grants are enough to get us through to the supplemental budget, and we thought we would deal with that issue there. And was there a third question? Arts Council grants?
Sure.
Yep, the same thing there, Mr. Chairman. And you'll probably see that in a couple of the other budgets as well.
Chairman Madden?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is kind of a general one. It probably applies to a lot of different departments. But now that I've got one in front of me here, is when you guys work on the budget all that time, do you look at the enterprise aspect of some of these things, like user fees and things like this, to see where you are on? I should have asked it when we were talking about the Industrial Siting Council back a couple of budgets ago, because originally that one was intended to be a user pay type thing, and I think we have some kind of a goal, maybe not to pay 100% of it, but for state parks and historic sites, is there what kind of a reconciliation do you do between that and the revenues?
Representative Esquivel.
Mr. Chairman, we do. When we have the agency come before us, in this particular agency, there's about $2 million there available in special revenues for things that they get from entry fees into state parks. And generally, and you'll see this actually in the capital construction bill, too, where we'll approve some of their projects and allow them to use that money in whatever their agency decides is the most important priority. And when you get to that, you'll see that there's four projects in there where their special revenues are.
Other discussion? Question being called. All in favor of Section 24, State Parks and Cultural Resources, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 24 is passed Committee of the Whole. We are now on to Section 27, the School Facilities Department. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move Section 27, School Facilities Department. Couple changes here, members. First of all, the capital construction, the number one and number two, and the major maintenance is number two there. We've moved those out into House Bill 42, and we've always done that. We've never taken it under Section 27 of the budget. We used to do it in a complete budget bill. We've since divided that the last couple of budgets where we had really two budget bills, the school CapCon bill and then the general fund budget bill that we're working on today, House Bill 1. So those were moved out. Number three there, we had a lot of talk about safety and security and money and all those kind of things, and we weren't quite sure. And so we really were directing the department. Some of this work we understand is already ongoing to come up with those standards. And we know it's a work in progress, but we basically want them to report back to us what we think that's going to cost, and that's on page 25 of your budget. And then number four there on your cheat sheet, and I'm on page 14 of the cheat sheet, and we've cut this agency three or four positions over the last couple biennia, and a couple were held back waiting for a new director. We've allowed two positions, and these are project manager type positions to go forward, but they're time limited for this budget only. And we have, for various reasons, we have a kind of a glut in school CapCon right now, and there's a need and desire to get a few more folks on the ground and regionally throughout the state to move that process along. So that's where we added those two folks on a time limited basis. So I'd stand for any questions.
Discussion? Question being called. All in favor, Section 28, School Facilities Commission, please say aye.
Aye.
Department. All opposed, say no. Section 27 has passed Committee of the Whole. We are now on the Section 29, Water Development Office. Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 29, Wyoming Water Development Office. If you look on page 14 of your data sheet, you'll find the information that I'm using here, and then on page 26 in your budget. And the JAC took the governor's recs for $8 million funded for administration as it pertains to Water Development 1, and then for the Gillette-Madison pipeline account, $21 million final time, or $13 million, excuse me, final time. Or, no, it is 21, and that's from SIPA. And so it's a total of $33,809,000. Are there any questions?
Representative Yagi.
Thank you. How are we doing with the Gillette-Madison pipeline? Is this the end, or have we got everything paid for? How much, where are we at?
Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, this is the last.
Chairman Harshman on the Gillette Madison project.
I'm sorry, I wasn't. There was a question about Gillette Madison, and the question was, where are we?
Yeah.
This is the last appropriation. Yay! Is that the question?
Asked and answered.
I'm sorry?
You're good. Any further discussion? Question being called. All in favor of Section 29, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Section 29 has passed Committee of the Whole. We are now on to Section 32, Wyoming Infrastructure Authority. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move adoption of Agency 32, Wyoming Infrastructure Authority. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll see again that we stuck with the governor's recommendations on this agency. This, as with the pipeline authority, is an instrumentality of the state, and so you'll see there's no state employees listed here. There is one footnote that we added, and primarily it is directing the infrastructure authority, the pipeline authority, and the business council to work together to find really areas where they can cooperate together. For example, maybe corridor developments for different types of infrastructure, and they are to report to Joint Minerals on those efforts by November 1st. But that was really the only change to the budget we had. So if there are any questions, not seeing any, I'd go ahead and move to close Agency 32, Wyoming Infrastructure Authority.
Question being called. Representative Hutchings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you tell me, Representative, what the governor's, he's declared a potential conflict. Can you clarify that for me, please?
Mr. Majority Whip.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think that is in the next budget.
Further discussion? Question being called. All in favor of Section 32, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Section 32 is passed Committee of the Whole. We are now on to Section 37, State Engineer, Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 37, State Engineers. And if you look on page 15 of your data sheet, page 27 of the budget, the JAC took most of the governor's recommendations. If you look in under administration, the JAC added $55,000 general fund for groundwater management issues in southeast Wyoming. And the governor declared a potential conflict. He didn't state why, but I mean, you could assume that maybe they have ranch land in that area, something like that. I don't know. It's just a conflict that he gave. And then under the Board of Control Division, the JAC added $9,000 general fund for hydrographer services, for which he also declared a conflict, probably the same reasons. And they added footnote 1 to make $70,000 general fund for motor vehicle maintenance scheduled maintenance. And otherwise, it's identical, the state engineer, to the governor's. So it's a total lot coming out of the Joint Appropriations Council, $29,167,000. And
do you want me to address the conflict?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A number of you have quickly asked what that conflict was that the governor had, and I think it was the perception that the governor may have in some way been able to benefit directly from some appropriation, and he declared a conflict and then did not even sign off on the appropriation. Thank you.
Vice Chair Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just like some explanation on line 22 of our budget, the $245,000 for the well driller's licensing. Just a little bit of explanation on that.
Representative Blickery.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Yagi, it's special funds, and so I assume that it's fees that are collected by the licensing board, and that's where that funding comes from.
Further discussion on Section 37. Speaker Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you look in the column over at JAC total, there's an abbreviation after the 245107 that says special revenue. What that is that's dues that organization pays into itself and then pays out of itself. So effectively, from the state's perspective, it's a wash. And you'll see that with all of the licensing boards. If that SR is there, it's generally the dues that the water well drillers pay for themselves to be licensed and administered.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Blickery.
What I said. If there's no other questions, I call for the question.
Question being called. All in favor of Section 37, State Engineer, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 37 is passed, Committee of the Whole. We are now on to Section 39, Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust. Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 39, Wild Natural Resource Trust Fund. Footnote number 1, in the 900 series, that's contractual services. We reduced that by 50,000 general funds. And in footnote number 2, reduce the governor's rec of $10 million general fund for the trust fund projects by $5 million, leaving $5 million. And then 3 and 4 specifies what that $13 million is for the wildlife trust projects and the $5 million for the wildlife trust account. Number 5 is a relates to footnote number 1 in the administration. And that is directed in the state auditor's office to deposit that $5 million for the wildlife trust income account. You'll see that on page 28 of your budget bill. JAC added footnote number 2 specifying any funds spent for conservation easements allow for public access. And number seven there added that footnote number three, directing the state auditor's office to deposit $5 million general fund to the Wildlife Trust corpus account. If there's no questions, I move section 39.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a comment on all these footnotes directing money for the state auditor. Maybe the good joint appropriations chairman can let us know what this is about. Is it that confusing that the state auditor requires that we have a footnote every time we move funds? Seems tedious.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And really, this is kind of a new process where, and part of it's on the request of our auditor to make sure that these funds are clearly accounted for the purpose that we appropriate them for. And so you're seeing some of these account numbers. And so that's what we're doing. We're cleaning some of this up, I think, that office request and as we move forward with it.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, maybe it's self-evident, but I would like some explanation of footnote 2, which says that conservation easements, if I read it right, must include a requirement for full public access. And maybe we could have some discussion about that, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Escobel.
Mr. Chairman, this was a footnote that was added by the late Representative Sue Wallace. It was one of the things that she felt pretty passionate about, and JAC agreed with her as well.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The other discussion on that, on the easement issue was there was a feeling that too many of the easements are done with state money and then exclude the citizens of the state. So that was kind of the main justification for it that was given.
Thank you. Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, I too was reading that, and I was just curious, because I can't tie it together. Is that for payments that are made after the date of this budget, or does that affect the prior appropriations that we did in our bill? Could you just help me? You know, because each year we bring out our big projects that we roll out, and just give me some help on the effective date of that amendment if it stands up.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Unfortunately, it only affects projects that might come in this budget. Now, just a little more kind of background on that. Wherever you are on easements, and we're probably 90 different opinions in here, it's public money. And public money then, and I think many of us, I'll just tell you, there was a strong voice in the JAC to have no more conservation easements. But for the board and the director really telling us that they think they've about run the course with easements on core areas and all those things. But to really think about that, I mean, these are areas that are going to be put off forever. And, you know, some of the other, each contract is different, as you know, being your background. But we wanted to say going forward, and even this language isn't very strong, but we'd like to have people to be able to hunt and fish on those lands that are set aside forever and with public money. And so it's a tricky deal because many of these areas are some of the prime migration areas, pristine areas, many of them are. And what will happen to them 100 years from now? Who will own them? Will they be private hunting reserves? Those kind of things. I mean, you've heard all this debate. It's been going on for good 6-8 years in this body with conservation easements. So wherever you stand, we kind of went back and forth as a committee, and this is where we came out that in this budget that they'd allow for some type of public access.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, I don't really care to debate that particular issue, although I always would like to rebut comments. My question was, and maybe I missed the answer there, last year we passed our large projects bill that had the payments that were going out of this fund to folks who had done some due diligence on some easements.
is this tag going to go on those projects, even though, because some of those were approved, but they haven't been paid? I'm just asking where we are on a fairness. Have we changed the rules on those people, or is this for people, projects all going forward? That's all I want to know. We'll debate the other things later.
Chairman Harshman?
And I think I said this before I got into an editorial. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And it is just on projects going forward in this budget. Yeah, those will be in previous budget, previous biennium.
Representative Gay?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Chairman Harshman just answered my question because it did come up last year in committee upstairs when they had the big package. There were 14 conservation easements proposed, and I remember I asked them the question at that time. One of the conservation easements amounted to $600,000 to pay a landowner to basically not do anything with his land. And I asked him the question, if we're going to pay you this money, will you put up a big no trespassing sign across there? He was surrounded by Forest Service or BLM land around on the other thing. And I said, are you going to exclude the taxpayers of Wyoming from using that? And at that time, it was sort of shrugged off. I got a non-answer that, but I think Chairman Harshman answered my concern when he said that this would be included in projects going forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to further bring confusion to what may be clear to most people, wouldn't it be better, rather than to have a footnote, that we would include this in the statute, that where the funds would go and then be administered, as opposed to doing it every 2 years in a footnote? If we believe so strongly as the chairman presented it, which I happen to agree with, that the public funds going for a permanent easement for lasting more than my lifetime, maybe it would be better if we did do it statutorily instead of by footnote. Just an idea for thought, I guess.
Representative Patton, it might not be. Your lifetime may exceed a conservation easement. Chairman Harshman?
No, and really just to the good representative from the Senate of State, and again, this language is good for only 2 years, so it's only projects covered under this budget.
Representative Escobar.
Okay, move to close section 39.
Question being called. All in favor of section 39, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Section 39 is passed committee of the whole. We are now on to section 40, game and fish. Once again, Representative Escobar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move section 40, game and fish commission. It has five units there. The aquatic invasive species, the veterinary services program, sage grouse planning and protection, wolf management, and CWCS, that's Comprehensive Wildlife Management Strategy. The JAC did add $210,455 general fund for support costs that were denied by the governor, and you'll see that in that little I in front of the CWCS, and that's part of that $2,403,107 at the end of that line. Any questions on commission?
Mr. Vice Chair Yagi.
Thank you. A little explanation on the chronic wasting. Where are we with that? I assume that's just an ongoing thing that we've had for a long time. And then we are upping this budget about $3 million from last year. And my last concern is we've got a Game and Fish Commission budget here, but we do not have a Game and Fish Department budget. Now, I understand, you know, they were not in there last year, but I thought they would be this year because they are reporting to JAC. We do have a portion of the transportation budget in there, so if you can answer those, thank you.
Representative Escobel.
Mr. Chairman, for the body's information, I do have a handout I'm going to send out, and it goes in a little bit more detail about some of the fees, registrations, and such with the commission. And I'll go ahead and pass that one out. You'll have that on your desk here a little bit later.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to add a little light, we did increase this budget by a couple million from the last biennium, and really we did review the entire commission budget, but remember, we don't appropriate that budget, and we haven't since the 1930s, and rightfully so, I think. But these programs, aquatic invasive species, I remember the vigorous debate on this floor 4, 5, 6 years ago, the veterinary services, sage grouse for wolf management, and the sensitive species. These are all legislative initiatives, and these are things that we've imposed on the game and fish, and we didn't think it was right that, and let's face it, what funds game and fish are deer, elk, and antelope hunters. I mean, they're the only ones that really pay for themselves. And we thought, why should deer, elk, and antelope hunters subsidize legislative mandates? And so we wanted to pay the full cost of that, and that resulted in a couple million-dollar increase on the general fund portion of the Game and Fish Commission budget.
Representative Escobel.
Move to close Section 40.
Question being called. All in favor of Section 40, Game and Fish, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Section 40 has passed Committee of the Whole. We're now on to Section 41, Fire Prevention and Electrical Safety. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Probably the hottest topic you'll have all afternoon, so don't be shocked by it. Mr. Chairman, I move Section 41, Department of Fire Prevention and Electrical Safety. It's on page 17 of your cheat sheet and on page 30 of your budget. The JEC accepted the governor's recommendation with no adjustments and no footnotes. Are there any questions?
Question being called on Section 41. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Section 41 has passed Committee of the Whole. We're now on to Section 42, Geological Survey. Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 42, Geologic Survey. You can look on page 17 of your data sheet and page 30 of the budget. The JAC just went along with the governor's recommendations for a budget of about $5 million. One thing I'd like to point out is that the Geologic Survey people themselves requested a lower budget by about $200,000 this year than last year, and their budget is considerably lower than it was about 8 years ago. And so kudos to them. They've figured out how to do a good job on less money. Are there any questions?
Any further discussion? Question being called on Section 42. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, say no. Section 42 has passed Committee of the Whole. We are now on to Section 44. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Agency 44, Insurance Department, and ask for your favorable consideration. We, again, stuck exactly to the Gov's Rex on this particular agency. You'll notice that this there's very little general fund in this particular agency. That $5.7 million is all going to the high-risk insurance pool, and that's really the only generally funded program within the Department of Insurance. The rest is typically license fees and those sorts of things. So, but we went along with what the governor said, and so there's probably not too much to talk about, unless anybody has any questions. Okay, and I'd go ahead and move to close Section 44, Insurance Department.
Question being called on Section 44. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, say no. Section 44, Insurance Department, has passed Committee of the Whole. We are now on to Section 45, Department of Transportation. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 45, Department of Transportation. It's on page 19 of your cheat sheets and page 32 of your budget. And to answer one question before we even start, this is only the legislatively appropriated side of the Department of Transportation's budget. This is not what's called the commission side, which are other things. So it's only what we appropriate out of this body. So the JC accepted some of the governor's recommendations and made modifications to some of them. And those modifications are covered in the notes at the bottom. Under law enforcement, JC added footnote number one, which on page 32 of your budget, directing the department to pursue federal funding of Supreme Court technology projects to the extent not prohibited by law, and specifically for the e-citation system. And that's a system whereby, say you're stopped for a speeding violation, you can do everything electronically. So, in the WireLink system, JC added footnote number two on page 33 of your budget, directing the department to investigate opportunities to increase leasing of state-owned communication towers and to provide a report. Those towers were put up to facilitate the WireLink system, and there may be opportunities there for the state to lease space on those towers to other users and recoup some of that money. In the Aeronautics Administration, JAC added footnote number three, on page 33 of your budget, directing the department to adjust the rates it charges to state agencies for the usage of the state planes based on a formula and to conduct a cost comparison of state-owned versus airplane charter costs in order to determine the most efficient mode of travel for state employees, and again, to provide a report. Generally said, is it cheaper to fly the state plane or is it cheaper to rent the transportation? You know, you can rent an air taxi, in effect, and that is to determine which is more cost-effective for the state. Okay. In the Aeronautics Division, JAC reduced by $500,000 the general fund appropriation for air service enhancement grants and added footnote number four on page 34 of your budget, specifying that grants made for air service enhancements will be prioritized according to the entities providing the highest cash match and that all matches must be at least 1%. Further, JC added footnote number five on page 34 of your budget, specifying that any unexpended, unobligated funds in the air enhancement account at the end of the biennium shall revert to the budget reserve account. And the general appropriation to the commission portion of the budget, JC added footnote number six on page 34 of the budget, directing the department to move the statues at the old Southeast Wyoming Welcome Center to the new Southeast Wyoming Welcome Center. I don't know if any of you are familiar with those statues that set out there. It's there are two. One's a mountain man, I think, and the other one's something else. And there were some people who thought they'd look good at the new visitor center, so they were directed to be moved. But no funds were separately appropriated. It was merely a direction to take those funds out of the general fund appropriation and move those statues. The JC further added footnote number seven on page 34 to allow railroad quiet zone funding to carry over into the 2015-2016 biennium, and that's effective immediately. Okay. Are there any questions?
Representative Blake.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just am curious how much more money we're going to be sticking into WireLink. Is this the last chunk, or are we still going?
Mr. Minority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two questions. Footnote number four, the reduction of $500,000, $500,000 for air service enhancement grants. Could you break that down a little bit more? Than you're taking a huge amount of money away from a group of people that really desperately need this. I need it granularized for me a little bit better. And then shift down to footnote number seven. Is that wording exact there? Because that's not the location where those two statues go.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, my questions are as follows. In footnote number three, they were directed to adjust the rates they charge the state agencies for usage of state planes based on a formula. I'd like an explanation of what that formula is. I have the same reservation in footnote four. That's well, not footnote four, but number four, the $500,000 that was previously voiced. And then in number five, which is footnote number four, I'd like to understand what the committee thought about communities that simply cannot come up with 1% of the money that it takes to enhance these airports. Are those communities, is the message from this that those communities are no longer going to be able to have enhancements to their airports because in some cases 1% would exceed their entire municipal budget?
Representative Burkhardt, there's four questions for you, so we'll go to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First question, if I have these in order and have them correct, is how much more money for WildLink? I think the answer to that is we don't know. There's a lot of money in WildLink. We've already spent a lot of money. The appropriation here, our understanding is that that is to wrap up building of the towers and purchasing of the initial amount of hardware. There will always be some money for maintenance out there and for software enhancements that will have to be made over time. I think all of you know we kind of have a single source on this, and we're kind of stuck dealing with that single source supply. The next question was on the $500 on air enhancements, the reductions, and a request for some detail on that. And my recollection is the detail is that was just a rounded-off reduction in the amount of $500,000. It wasn't broken down by airport or anything else. Question on the statues. I'm not sure I understood that. There are statues at the old Southeast Visitor Center and rest area down there, and the direction was to move those to the new visitor center, which is a little further south on the interstate. Question on what is the formula for calculating usage of the state planes. I think that's to be determined. That was part of the study, is to figure out that ratio to make sure that we are recouping the money we need to from the agencies using that plane. Again, question on the $500,000. That's to the best of my recollection. The chairman may have more information on that one. And footnote number four about the 1% enhancement on the air service, all that says is that 1% is the minimum amount they have to invest, which really doesn't make a whole lot of difference because currently, under the current rules, the state puts in 72% and the local community puts in 28%. So the 1% really is not that big of a number. All it says is that's the minimum amount. That they'd have to put in 1% of the enhancement monies versus putting in, say, $10 total. So, and I think there's some follow-up questions. So, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to follow up on that because that was my understanding is we were matching around 22%. The 1% match doesn't bother me. I'm surprised it's so low. If it doesn't matter, why do we have it in there is one question. Two is I'm a little concerned, and I'd like to know why we're going to prioritize by the highest cash match, because that's going to funnel those monies to just certain airports into certain counties or certain locations that are able to raise the funds. I'd like to know what the study was, what the rationale was behind prioritizing it that way. That just is saying to me the rich is getting richer instead of where do we need to put these funds.
Do any of the other people lined up have questions on air service grants? Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question has to do with footnote number five, which is number six on the cheat sheet. That any unexpended unobligated funds in the air enhancement account at the end of the biennium shall revert back to the budget reserve account. I was just curious what the thinking was with that, because here's how most communities use that. You actually don't spend the money. What you do is you get the money from aeronautics, you take that, and then you go do your contracts with the airlines so you get direct flights. If you don't meet the goals of the contracts, meaning having the seats filled, then you have to pay those airlines that amount of money, so they're guaranteed maximums.
in many cases, and particularly in my community, we hit all our goals usually, so the money just reverts back to the state. And then we have money for the next year to go and negotiate the contracts. And it's a way of increasing the flights in. By JAC doing this, it's essentially telling everyone, spend your money. Don't be wise with your money. Instead, make sure you spend it. I'm just curious why you want us to spend the money rather than save the money.
Question to airfares, Chairman Madden?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I remember that the $500,000 in question here was termed an exception to the budget, which means there was a standard budget prior to that. And I have not heard what the amount in the standard budget is, so I have a feel for how much $500,000 is relative to the total amount that's going to the have cities, and that's my question. Thank you.
Representative Burkhart.
Hey.
Chairman Harshman.
I'll take this beating for a while, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Members, a lot of good questions, and tried to write most of these down. I think I want to first go back to Mr. Majority Floor Leader and his question about the formula, and it's on page 33, and really all we do now is really fuel and pilot time. And many of you folks who have owned airplanes on this floor know there's a lot more to it, and it starts to spell out some of those items on page 33, line 20, as far as scheduled upgrades, irregular maintenance, hot section inspection, engine replacement, aircraft replacement, all those kind of things, reserves that are not currently included, and we really don't know the actual cost to run the state jets. And so we want to kind of get a handle on that, and as I think the previous representative from Carbon said on the Appropriations Committee, you know, the world's changed. It might be cheaper to do a net jet. It might be a more efficient way to the taxpayer to do that. And so I thought our plan on JEC was to learn more about it and come back to us with that information. So that was the first one I had written down. Another one was the highest cash match. And I guess this has been in JEC, this program, this is a classic example of a state program. When you start it, this is a classic welfare-type program that you cannot end or change. It's very difficult to go in and make changes. It basically goes to five communities, and it's to keep the air service that we currently have. That's it. And it's kind of a sacred deal, and if you try to force folks to come up with more match or to do innovative things, you get lobbied and get worked over, and then we hear about it, and then no change happens. And I suspect that's probably what's going to happen here. I mean, I know you're getting pressured heavily on it. But we thought, you know, let's get a little competitive out there. Everybody says how important this is to our communities. Where is really the best bang for our buck? Where is the most leakage in state? And as you can imagine, most of the leakage is from folks around the edge of the state who are only 90 miles from a major airport. So we thought we'd change the dynamic a little bit with the highest cash match and make folks kind of compete a little bit for it. The next thing was about the reversion, and I think the good chairman of Judiciary talked about this. Well, when we first had testimony, there were no reversions. There were going to be none. And so we said, okay. And then we had a little call back, and we learned more, and there's actually going to be $1.6 million in reversions. And so we thought we'd revert that back to the general fund. It's the people's money. And instead of leaving it out there to try to work more commitments. So I think the way these contracts are structured, it's a pay when the contract is done. It's not, nobody's paying money up front. I don't believe Aeronautics has allowed that to happen. I guess the other deal was the $500,000 cut, and that is out of a $6.6 million budget. And I think the question, it was a $6.6 million budget, a $500,000 cut, because the standard budget, I think, is what the good chairman of revenue asks, and that is something, and it's like 2.8, I think, is the standard. And then it comes to us an exception for this amount, about 3.8. And so we nicked that for $500,000. It was it was 1.6 reverting with reversions at the end of the biennium. We thought we could be safe by nicking that $500,000, given with the reversions, to cut that back a little bit, because it's frustrating when this program really never changes. All it is more. Well, we need a little more money to keep up the service that we currently have. And it's difficult in Wyoming, because when we need services, when we're booming, and we're usually booming when oil and fuel prices are high, which is a real crusher, the number one cost on the airline industry. And so we're kind of caught in this thing, and we don't have all the answers on this deal. And I know a lot of you are gearing up. I mean, you've lined up now, and I just tell you, bring it on. You'll probably win this thing, because if history is a good judge of the future. But in our testimony on this thing, this is a classic deal. When you start a state program like this, you just can't end it. You've got people now on this welfare of a subsidized air service to 5 communities. That's all that get it. And the rest of us are going to watch it go, and we'll pay for it, try to change it, get beat back, and it just keeps on rolling. And so that's all I really have for you, I guess. And thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I wouldn't go too far. Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, yeah. I come from a community that gets the essential air service, so we're on the federal welfare program, not state welfare program. So I'm not getting lobbied by anybody. What I was asking is why this type of prioritization? What was there any thought put into it? And I guess what I heard... What I guess I heard was we want to try to cut this program out. And I feel we want to cut this program out. We all need to stand up and cut the program out, not funnel it from 5 communities down to 1 community to make it easier. That was all. That's what I was wanting to know, is if there was any study done, any rationale behind that, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, we did think about it for a little bit. And nowhere in that footnote says that it's going to one community. And it never has gone to one community. And so we'd like to actually expand it beyond the 5 communities that have had it for the last several budget cycles. So that's really our intent, is to get a little more competition into this. Right now, it's pretty much a locked deal. There's going to be 5 communities get this money. Everybody else, good luck, but there's just not enough money. The only way to get more money is come to the legislature and increase the size of the program. That's what we were told. And so we thought we'd kind of roll this thing up a little bit and let people compete again for the money.
Further comments on air service? Okay. Vice Chair Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ask a question that on the game and fish that didn't get asked or answered, so I'll ask it on this one. Both of them are in the same way. They do have over $1 billion budget, and we're looking here at $263 million. Is there a chance that we can get their whole budget put in here? Because the federal funds are profiled in the other budgets. Why aren't they in the game and fish and the transportation? There's question number one. I'd like to see the whole thing in there. And then on footnote 8, we talked about the quiet railroads, and just want to know how much money is left in here, how much they're carrying over on the quiet railroads. Thank you.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to just revisit the business on footnote 5. Particularly as it relates to that grant and the reversion of the funds. It seems strange to me that the Aeronautics Commission takes those funds and that those that are unexpended sets them aside and then simply adds them back to the same recipients of the previous biennium. That doesn't give the other ones, the other communities, an opportunity. It pretty well freezes them out, and particularly if you're going to have the greater match figure put in, that the entry of new air service participation is thereby limited. One of the interesting things that has happened with air transportation is we thought at one time that Casper could be a hub, and you used a minimum a hub and spoke kind of an approach for air service to the communities in Wyoming. Well, as time has gone on, the day of the 737 being available to be a part of a spoke is gone. And they're not manufacturing airplanes today. They're not even manufacturing engines that match airframes to service the many of the communities of the state. In one particular case, I was told that perhaps the hub and spoke could be instituted in Wyoming. And I pointed out to him, or I tried to point out to him, but here's the actual figures. From our community to an entry point in national transportation system would be Billings. That's 137 miles by road. That's airport to airport. The private plane, it's 91 nautical miles or 105 actual road miles. At 145 knots, that means that we can fly a private plane up there in 39 minutes. The result of that was that we had a EAS, that's in the Small Communities Act, included many of our communities, and one of the communities, the one in which I live, removed itself from it so that we could try to have an institution and involvement of air transportation, essentially using Casper as a hub. The irony of all of that is that once you take yourself out of that category of EIS, you can't get back in. So that community removed itself and now finds itself, with, unfortunately for us here, the only way that they can get any kind of relief again is in some form of support from the state. That community is not one of the five communities that are receiving the funds. So I would encourage the thought that we address this particular issue, and that one of the growing communities and several of the growing communities in the state are being deprived of further growth and enhancement of growth by virtue of not being able to have acceptable air service for both traffic and for something other than people, merchandise. So I urge your consideration as we progress our way through the budget to be a little bit more responsive to what might be available for us in the state of Wyoming and be positive for economic development of the state. Thank you.
Chief Pilot Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And appreciate the good comments from the representative from Sheridan. And I think there's a question from the member from the Southwest is, why don't we pull all of YDOT's budget in? And it's about $750 million commission budget. Most of it's federal funds. I'll give you the same answer I gave you on the Game and Fish. Game and Fish has been since the 1930s, since the legislature in this chamber's appropriated monies, Game and Fish monies, license fees, all those. And it's been, I think, since the 1920s, since this legislature has appropriated money. We've gone to the commission model. Most states have, because let's face it, the areas with the most folks are going to vote in the road projects. That's why they took it out of here a long time ago. And so that $750 million, generally federal money, some severance tax, is commission. They decide what roads get chip sealed, which ones get rebuilt, and those kind of things. But the one question I do not have an answer for is the quiet zone money. There's a little bit of money left in that account. And I'll get that number for you. I don't have it in my notes, but I'll get it to you. So, but there's a little bit of money. There's no new money going to it. We've not appropriated any more new money to quiet zones. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion on the Department of Transportation budget. Representative Burkhart, yep, further. Question being called. All in favor of Section 40... Where the heck are we? Section 49? Transportation is 45. Section 45, please say aye. All opposed, say no. Section 45 is passed Committee of the Whole. We're now on to Section 48, Department of Health. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Section 48, Department of Health, which is on pages 20 and 21 of your cheat sheet and starting at page 35 of your budget. This may take a little bit of time. The Now, remember, the Department of Health, it's, and you can see it's, you know, almost a $2 billion budget. Of that, almost $1 billion is general fund. And, I mean, it's just a huge department, 1,429 employees. And so I'll walk you through the notes that do a lot to explain what the JAC did in the Department of Health. But I will tell you, I mean, we spent a lot of time, the department spent one entire day with us and then came back on callbacks and spent more time with the committee than any other agency. But just to, we'll take it one by one and start down through the first two notes. The first one is just a technical correction. There were a number of accounts that were still open from past bienniums that had monies in them. So this is to, excuse me, move those funds that had not reverted and were sort of just hanging out there. Footnote number two, this you'll see that this was a move. One of the cost studies on the five statewide health institutions found that one sort of cost drain was that the employees have been essentially eating at these facilities for free. So what we did is we put this footnote in to make sure that employees who eat at these facilities are paying at least the costs of their meals. If you look up towards the top, if you look under the different programs director's office, you'll see that we did not make any changes to the governor's rec in the director's office. In healthcare financing, we did make a couple of changes. We increased the general fund appropriation by $100,000 to be expended through the DD department to help offset costs of hearing aids for children, and this is reflected in footnote number three. We added $400,000 at the request of the governor. This was a governor's letter that will continue the work on patient-centered medical homes. This has been an ongoing project and a pilot project to utilize patient-centered medical homes in order to try to maximize care and minimize costs around the state. Footnote number four, we asked for some reporting on the growth of Medicaid numbers. In particular, we're trying to get a hold on the mandatory expansion, the Woodwork effect. We've been working on projections for several years, and we're trying to actually get a little bit better grip on what numbers are expanding in Medicaid because of that expansion. Note number six talks about footnote number five. And one of the recurring themes we found throughout working this budget is that you would see the base budget and the standard budget, and you'd see an increase there. And there are a number of things built into our budgeting scheme that just move to increase the cost of government. You know, you may see people moving up pay scales. There's a number of those different things. But in the Department of Health, what we wanted to do is on the costs for nursing facilities, we wanted to make sure that we as a legislature saw those and budgeted for those. And so that's what footnote number five is attempting to do, is to get a hold on those costs and make sure that we know about them. If you see, again, under public health, we went with the Gov's Rex. Note number seven, you'll see that we adopted the request by the governor in his letter to add $200,000 to fund the 211 system. And the 211 system is a call-in system where you can call in a community and figure out what the local referrals, health resources are for you. And so this is an expenditure to continue that program across the state. We added $10,000 to help defray costs of Wyoming kids who attend cancer survivor camps. And then you'll see in note nine that we added $1 million to continue the governor's initiative on healthcare information exchange. And remember, don't get this confused with the health exchange. This is the efforts to utilize medical records and to ensure that medical records transfer between providers that we've seen going on across the state over the last few years. Note number 10, you'll see that we gave the public health lab the ability to charge other state agencies for work that they did to cover their costs, and we gave them the authority to set up a special revenue account to gather those fees, and then those can't be spent again, without legislative further legislative approval. You'll see on note number 11, That this is really the continuation of a footnote found in prior budget that requires the Department of Health to retain the right to redirect prevention dollars in order to deal with emergency needs when they enter into contracts dealing with those prevention dollars. Under behavioral health, you'll see that we made $4.8 million out of the $17.5 million appropriation was made effective immediately, and these are all tobacco funds. And what this really does is without this action, the $4.8 million would sweep into the corpus, the tobacco trust corpus. This essentially intercepts that sweep so that it remains available for spending, and it remains available for spending in the area of court-supervised treatment. Note number 13, this is an issue that labor has been dealing with throughout the interim and came to our attention, and this is a step at least to deal with it. And this is in regard to the funding of the developmental preschools, the Parts B and the Part C on developmental, the DD children around the state. And what we heard and what labor heard, what they brought to us was that there is a requirement under the federal program, and a lot of these dollars that flow into these programs are federal dollars, that there is a requirement that we maintain effort. There's a maintenance of effort requirement, and what that really translated to us was you had to maintain funding, and we haven't done that. We have cut funding a number of times to these programs, and you'll remember maybe a couple of years ago we developed a system in statute to determine the per-child amount for these programs. We followed that, I think, maybe one budgeting cycle, and then the rest of the time we have cut away from what that statute required. And so there's some concern that because of those cuts, we have failed to meet this maintenance of effort requirement, and we may see some federal penalties and some withdrawing of federal funds for these programs. So this is what we did to deal with that is really threefold. One, we asked that the Department of Health find within their budget for the 2013-14 biennium enough to cover deficiencies in the Part C program, and they represented they can do that. Number two, we asked them to work with the Department of Education to obtain a waiver for maintenance of effort in the Part B program. Number three, we fully funded the per child amount for the first year of this coming biennium, the 2015 portion of this current biennium. And number four, we asked for some additional information, particularly from the Attorney General's office, so we can really get a grip on what are the impacts if we don't maintain maintenance of effort, what do we really need to do to meet that requirement. So that's what you'll see in note 13 of your cheat sheet. If you look under, there's notes 14, 15, 24, and 25, and I'm going to deal with these all together. And you see them, if you look at the top, the spreadsheet at the top of page 20, you'll see that in the other funds section, there's a reduction of $60 million. And I'll explain to you what that is. The other funds, these are all funds that are currently found in SIPA. Out of that $90 million we appropriated to SIPA last year, and this was, the $60 million was requested by the governor to be sort of sequestered, that's a bad word, set aside for use in various facilities around the state, including the resource center, the learning center in Lander, the state hospital, and the hospital up in Basin. But so he asked for the $60 million, really as a down payment on a much bigger expense to deal with capital expenditures at those three facilities. We did not feel that there was really a fleshed out plan in how to use monies on those facilities. There's a long way to go in right-sizing those facilities and figuring out what we're going to do. So rather than setting aside that entire amount, what we did is we set aside half that amount. So we set aside $30 million, and the transfer out of here is we set it in a separate account to be held for use on those facilities. The other $30 million we took and we put with a number of other dollars that you'll see throughout the budget into a new account, School Foundation Reserve Account, which is essentially a savings account to backstop our school expenditures. So that's why you see that $60 million moving out of the Department of Health budget. It's really $30 million is being retained for as the governor requests, and then $30 million is going into the SFRA. Note 16, we're asking for information from mental health, particularly substance abuse providers, trying to determine whether there's double billing occurring. Because there has been a change in the insurance laws, there's now a mental health parity provision where a lot of these folks are going to be covered by insurance that weren't previously. So we're trying to make sure that we're not billing the Department of Health and private insurance for the same people that are seeing the same provider. Note 17. I'm sorry, note 18 deals with the Life Resource Center in Lander. They're, part of the studies we found that they are pretty heavily overstaffed, and so this sets up a mechanism to offer severance packages for some of their employees to try to pare down the employment numbers at the Life Resource Center. Note number 19, you'll see that we moved $500,000 from outpatient substance abuse to inpatient substance abuse. After we heard some testimony about a lack of residential beds for substance abuse treatment in certain areas of the state, so that was a move, a priority change. Note number 20 is authorizing special revenue funds that are available to the state hospital that are paid in maybe from insured people that are at the state hospital, other funds that they get, and allow them to use those for life safety issues and some other capital needs at the state hospital. In note 22, the governor had requested in one of his governor's letters an additional $500,000 to go to senior centers, and we appropriated that amount as requested. Note number 23, this is just like we just saw in the state hospital. This is for the retirement center and allowing them to use special revenue funds for their capital needs. So that is a very quick summary of what really was almost 2 days worth of testimony in front of the JAC, and I'll take your questions and do what I can to answer them.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There was a lot of discussion about the tobacco settlement funds. I was just curious if there was a more global discussion in the committee. I know back in 2002 when the decision was made to primarily use those funds for substance abuse treatment, instead of putting it into the trust fund, which was one of the recommendations, a lot of the money is diverted before it ever gets there, and it's spent, and it's what we've been using to spend on all of our substance abuse. But in the next few years, that tobacco settlement money is going to decrease and going to continue to decrease. I'm just wondering what the game plan is for the future, how we're going to backfill in the money as we're losing tobacco settlement fund monies as those payments start to decrease, what we're going to do as a state to backfill that in so we don't have to decrease substance abuse funding. I know it's a few years off, but I just wanted to make sure the committee's thinking about that because I think it's going to come to a head at some point in the future. My second question had to do with you were allowing the state hospital to take revenue collected and put it toward a few different things, but one of them was toward remediate conditions identified in the Chris S. lawsuit. I was just curious when they testified if they identified anything specific under the Chris S. lawsuit that they are contemplating fixing this year. And then lastly, my last question has to do with the public health laboratory. A lot of people don't realize this, but the chemical testing is not over in the DCI labs. Those of you who have toured the laboratories, you have the crime lab on one side of that building. You have the public health lab on the other side of the building. Chemical testing for DUI is actually done by Department of Health, not by DCI. The difficulties become here you're sort of doing a bill within the budget bill. This doesn't look like a footnote to me. This looks like a bill. But here you're authorizing them to start charging the highway patrol, our local sheriffs, and our police department for the testing. I think that's going to have an adverse effect
on DOI enforcement. I know the public health lab is already struggling. They're not sending their people out to testify in hearings anymore unless you pay up front, because they're saying they're completely out of money. They're broke. That is having an extremely adverse impact on DUI trials across the state. We've done amazing things in the last few years on DUI, and then suddenly to have a lot of these things falling apart because public health lab is not, at least they're saying they're not funded. I'm just wondering, was there any discussion on that? I know there's been a lot of discussion about moving at least chemical testing aspect of the public health lab over to the DCI crime lab. And for whatever reason, DCI crime lab seems to have a lot of money. For whatever reason, public health lab has no money. Was there any discussion of moving anything between the two laboratories? Those are my three questions.
Before I overwhelm the majority whip, any other questions on the state hospital, the public health lab, substance abuse, or tobacco funds? Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe relates to the state hospital. I'm a little concerned that we have identified some pretty major capital needs at a variety of facilities across the state and only appropriating half the money that the governor has requested now and sticking half the money in account that we don't even need for several years down the road under a worst-case scenario could leave those facilities like the state hospital high and dry. So I'm kind of wondering what the plan is when we know we have to go forward with those projects. Where will the money come from?
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just going to step in on a couple just so we can move on to the good representative from Casper as most of those answers. I wanted to talk just briefly about tobacco trust, tobacco settlement funds. There's about a $16 to $17 million that will come to the state in perpetuity. It's going to go on forever. There's about $2 million that will end in a couple of years. And then we were pretty good. We did a good thing, I think, 10, 12 years ago when this started. We started investing these into a trust fund, and it's a statutory trust, so it's in the state agency pool, only makes 2-3%, if that, but that's at $78 million, and so the interest off of that tobacco trust fund is helping fund some of those programs. But the largest part, the $16 million, is going to keep coming. I really think we should look at whether we should designate that tobacco trust fund as a permanent constitutional fund, be able to invest it in equities or somehow, but that'll be a discussion for a later date. I want to talk specifically about Madam Minority Floor Leader talking about the state facilities. And the governor's budget had $60 million out of the SIPA into the Department of Health for projects that none of us have ever studied and really know the final outcome. And we've always get nervous about saying, here is this amount of money for a project that hasn't even been studied, the conclusions haven't been drawn, because somehow that becomes the price tag. And when, hey, they got $60 million, that's going to be my bid for these projects. And so we were real careful. We pulled it out of the Department of Health. We created an account in the auditors called the State Facilities Construction Account, much like we did this building. I think the first appropriation into that account in the auditors for this building was $2 million. We just scraped by $2 million to start the account. We grew this account up to about $110 million at one point. I think we think of doing the same thing. I mean, it's going to be on 31 of your votes with our state facilities, particularly in Evanston, Lander, and Buffalo. And there's others, too, and there's probably a bigger topic, whether the state should be in retirement home business in Thermopolis and Basin and other places. It's not for me to decide, but you guys on those committees will. But we wanted to start setting it aside, and $30 million is a huge amount. And we thought that we could continue this and keep building that. And as a task force, we require a task force in this budget to really go out and come back with things that maybe none of us have ever even thought about. But to just put $60 million and say this is a cost, we were pretty skeptical of that, of keeping that in the Department of Health's budget. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to answer a couple of the other questions that are outstanding. One on the public health laboratory. Really, the problems that the good member from Teton County mentioned are really what we're trying to get at with allowing them to charge for their services. to make sure that there are revenues there so that they can meet their responsibilities. And so that, rather than, I mean, we could always dig in and start spending a bunch more general fund on it, but we thought this was a more appropriate way to do it and one that would help control costs ultimately. With this, there was a question about the state hospital and the immediate needs that they're going to be using their special revenue to address. There were, we did talk specifics. I can't remember the specifics off the top of my head, but there are a couple of things, essentially crumbling buildings that need to be addressed right away, that we really can't wait for another 18 months, 2 years for a plan in order to address those things. And that's why we gave them their ability to spend out of that account to address those immediate needs.
Chairman of the Health Committee, Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Several items. Going to number 16 on the cheat sheet, requiring the department to solicit personally identifiable information from service providers in conjunction with requests to reimbursement in order to protect against overbilling. When we first started talking about how the ACA would affect and how it would affect budgets in particular and what money we put into what programs and where it goes, one of the things that we recognized is that the ACA created mental health parity. That means whatever type of services, whether it's office visit or in-hospital services, are available through your health care, they're also available through mental health. Now, that's just the law. So now we're looking at, when the Department of Health looked at this, they looked at it based on Medicaid expansion, and that was going to be their biggest money saver. So now they're asking the providers to do additional book work, and it's like an unfunded mandate. How many of us get so angry at unfunded mandates from the federal government? So we're going to ask our bookkeepers to go in and say, do you have insurance, and how many visits does your plan allow per year, and are we going to cover it? And what it does to the providers is it puts them in a very precarious situation, because if the insurance company doesn't reimburse in a timely manner, then it just cuts funding further. And this was one of the mechanisms to cut in the Department of Behavioral Health some of the grants that they provide to the mental health service providers today. And so I just wanted to clarify that what we're asking for from them is additional paperwork that is still an unknown. Now, I think that if once they get their money and once they get the reimbursements, then I think it's okay to go back and say, based upon this experience, then this is what your appropriation will be next time. But to cut them early, I think that we're just headed into such a great big gray area that I feel a little bit uncomfortable with that. I really liked footnote 18. Actually, it's footnote 13, but it's number 18 on the cheat sheet. I think that that's one way to deal with 430 positions to serve 85 people at the Life Resource Center. So I think that they're making a good move there, and I appreciate that move. Number 21 really has me disturbed. JAC added footnote 16 specifying reimbursement to preschool service providers shall be made proportionate to funds available. We brought in an expert, and it is a national, it is a company that is funded by the federal government to ensure that IDEA is followed. And what this company does is go around to states, to school districts, to individual education units, and they teach them how IDEA works. And so we set our standard through legislation in 2008, I believe, that sets a per child amount. That is what OSEP is holding us responsible for maintenance of effort, is what we set in our own statutes. And now in this budget, it says that that amount would be adjustable based on funds available. We don't do that for special education in the public education sector. It's 100% reimbursable. We're not asking for 100% reimbursable with the developmental preschools. We're asking for a per-child amount with periodic ECAs based on what the school districts get so that they can be competitive in their wages for the people that they have to hire to carry out these mandates. That is what the maintenance of effort law says. We set the standard. We have to maintain the standard. And so this budget footnote specifying reimbursement made proportionate to funds available, the federal government doesn't really care if the funds are available or not. They said, you signed the contract, keep the contract. And the penalty is, if we don't, we pay the federal government back for the money that we should have paid them in the first place. And all of those dollars go straight to the federal government in fines. And we get our federal funding taken away. And so then we have to backfill the federal funding if we're going to keep the program going. So not $1 of the fines go to help any children. So I strongly urge, and we'll bring a second reading amendment to delete that footnote. It's not based on the funds available, and OSEP doesn't really care. Maintenance of effort means that if you say you're going to do it, then you do it, and that you don't back off. And they've not allowed any state in the union ever. There are no exceptions. There are no waivers for Part C, ever. Part C being the birth through their second year, so it's up to their third birthday. Part B has a little bit more leniency, but in Part B, the Department of Health is treated just like a local school district, and there are no individual waivers for a local education unit. And so Part B, there are no waivers available. So the Department of Health can apply for waivers. They will be denied. That's the law. That's the law. We entered the contract. We set the agreement. We set our own standard of what we would pay, and now we're saying that we're going to go backward on it. And I just wanted to be very clear with that, that this company that we brought the expert to our committee, we brought him in and said, what does maintenance of effort mean? What does the law read? How does the law apply to Wyoming? How does it apply to our Part C and our Part B? It was very carefully explained to us. It was very carefully documented by the federal laws. We've asked for an attorney general's opinion. I stopped in his office this morning. We do not have that opinion yet. He hoped to get me a note today to tell me about the progress on that. But we do not have the privilege of saying, if we have enough money, then we will pay for this service. This is, and let me be really clear too. This service is for developmentally delayed and intellectually disabled children, birth through five. That's the program we're talking about. It's special education services for these children. There are very strict guidelines. They are federal guidelines, federal testing purposes, and each child that qualifies for the program has to be 1.5% deviation of the norm in two or more areas of their life. That is non-negotiable, and it is not subjective. It's the score is the score is the score. There's been talk about over-identification of children in these programs. You can't over-identify them. You can, because the test is the test, the score is the score, and it's not subjective. Some areas do far better job at identification than other areas in the state. It's just based on their business model and their business practices. But you can't over-identify because the test is not subjective. It's not based on a professional opinion. It's based on test scores, and it's based on the deviation from the norm. So I will run an amendment to take out footnote number 16. Also, with those troubles, with the mental health issues, with the overstaffing and severance packages at the Life Resource Center, with the changing amounts at the general fund to the outpatient abuse treatment services and residential treatment services and the community mental health centers, then I really wonder about line 24 taking $7.5 million and putting it in the school foundation program. So it doesn't make sense to me when we're running deficits in the Department of Health that we would then remove money from the Department of Health and put it in another agency.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I may, I'd like to just jump on momentarily to the same bandwagon that the good chairman from Labor and Health was on and just help you folks understand kind of some unique things. When we talk about funding these developmentally preschools, those are private contracts between the Department of Behavioral Health and the child development centers in your community. And so the state signs a contract with them requiring them to provide all the services for those, to identify all of those children in their communities that have developmental disabilities, and then to provide all the services required by IDEA, the federal requirement, Individuals Disability Education Act. And what has happened with the lack of funding that good representative from Stubson talked about, from Casper talked about, was we had one of these centers down in the southwestern part of the state who had a family come to him with a child, and he was required to get a certain amount of services. This child development center couldn't provide the services because the state wasn't given enough money to provide the physical therapy and the speech therapy that he needed. And they said, we're sorry, we can't do it. So the family sued him. They won in court. The CDC had to fork over some cash, but the state, you know, pure as the wind-driven snow, it's nothing to do with us. You guys signed the contract, and you didn't. And that's the problem that we're running into here. We've got a belly up to the bar here just a little bit, and we're going to talk about that here in the next couple of days. It's kind of shame on us. We howled like a smashed cat here last year about this time when we talked about our abandoned mine reclamation funds being taken by the federal government. And boy, how could they do that? And then we get on the bandwagon about that. How can they do that? How can they take our federal mineral royalties? That's in statute. That's law. They can't do that. They can't do that. PILT money? Whoa, it's law. They can't do that. Well, look at us. We're doing the same thing to these developmental preschools. It's in statute how we've got to fund them. But we're not doing it. We're no better than Uncle Sam. And we need to fix that just a little bit. We'll talk about that in the next couple of days. I do have, if I could go back to the capital facilities study that we talked about, the governor had recommended $60 million, and the good chairman mentioned that there hadn't been any studies done. I hold in my hand a very comprehensive study that was done on all of our state-owned facilities. And, folks, we've got some problems, particularly in Evanston, which lies on a fault, and those buildings are made on masonry on slab facilities. They point that this is urgent and that we need to get this dealt with. If we're looking at Evanston and the Wyoming Life Resource Center, you know that it's going to be more than $60 million. It's kind of like our landfill remediation account. We don't have the firm figures on all of that, but we know it's going to take. We've got some estimates, and we're funding that thing because we know it's going to come, and we need to be wise about funding this capital facilities account, too. And I think that we need to be careful that because if, you know, and this study, I think it's interesting that this study
that the governor's done requires a task force. Well, why do we need another task force from JEC? It's already, we've got a plan, and we are trying to move forward, and part of moving forward is to fund that appropriately. And I know, I've no doubt that we will get that funding, but I just would feel a lot more comfortable if we had a little more of that sooner than later, and I understand there's a lot of other things. I do have a question also. I don't know that you mentioned the... are you on the second notebook? I don't know. I don't know if you mentioned the waiting list and how that was funded. Good, and if you could just point out how that funding went for the waiting list, I'd appreciate that. So, and I too would. Once again, I think that it concerns me that we're taking money out of the Department of Health when we have so many pressing issues and putting them into the Department of Education. I think that we need to be careful and look at that again and see what we need to do. Thank you.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to try and for my own understanding, sometimes I'm slow, I just want to crystallize all this. We are adding $1.6 million for one-year funding for preschool services. Is that covering the statutory mechanism that we created in 2007? That's my question. I think it was 2007 when we did that. And if it's not, what would that number need to be? That's my only question.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Chairman, I heard a lot of talking. I'm not sure I heard a lot of questions, but I'll address what I thought might have been questions in there. To address the kind of the last question first, yes, the $1.6 million is intended to fund the full per child amount as required by statute for the first year, for 2015. And that's why, again, a lot of this discussion about maintenance of effort is a little bit academic, because we have fully funded that for this next year. What we have not done is willingly stepped into the handcuffs without knowing what we're getting into for the second year of the biennium. What we've required is, let's really know, let's really understand what those requirements are, and let's know what the penalties are. Let's know, so we can weigh the cost-benefit before we decide what to do going forward with that program. We thought that was a thoughtful approach. Another question or comment that I think needs to be addressed, there's been some discussion about taking $30 million out of the Department of Health. It was never in the Department of Health. We have $60 million in the SIPA account that was set aside from the capital gains over the last biennium. The governor requested it to be put forward into these facilities around the state, but this is not taking any money out. This is, make no mistake about it, the $60 million request is additional money into a $2 billion budget. And so what we decided on that was, let's know where we're going before we leap. Yes, let's put some money towards those facilities. Let's put $30 million towards those facilities. But let's have at least some sort of direction on cost and on what we're going to do before we write a blank check. There are needs across the state, and we'll talk about these education needs. We'll talk about the projected deficit in another biennium down the road as we look at the school foundation program. That's why, as you look at the budget as a whole, we have set aside $100 million so that when we reach that point where we're spending more on education than we are bringing in, we have something to do about it. But don't make an assumption that because it was requested by the governor, this was in the Department of Health. Finally, there was some questions about this request for personally identifiable information. You have to kind of read those two footnotes together to understand what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is we cut these block grant checks essentially to substance abuse and mental health providers, and we send it out there so that they can provide the services. But now we know that insurance coverage requirements have changed. There is a requirement for mental health parity. There is a requirement that you and I receive coverage for a lot of these mental health and substance abuse treatments. And so what we simply want to know is, these dollars, which are all general fund dollars, are we spending these taxpayer dollars on people that are already insured, that people who should be getting those treatments paid for by insurance? I think we owe it to the taxpayers in our state to ensure that we're actually paying money for those that need the services, not for those that are insured. And that's really all those footnotes are about.
Representative Barlow.
You've been standing the longest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I would like to thank the hard work of the JAC, because this is a big budget, significant part of our state's expenditures, and they've done a great amount of work, and I appreciate it. I would like to just ask about Governor's Rec letter, or Governor's letter number 11, and I see three things that are mentioned in this cheat sheet. One is under note 3, one is under note 7, and one is on note 9. Two were accepted, adopted, and one was denied. The way I look at these, and I'll get the actual governor's letter, what we're doing, these are things that are already underway, and by not at least advancing them at some level, especially the last one, we're leaving some stranded investment. We've already got some time and investment in these, money in these, so I would hope that we could consider, I think that's why you move forward with the first two. The third one, I certainly would like to know what discussion there was about that one too, about how we can advance that at least till we get to a point where we can maybe get some sustainability to it. Thank you.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to talk a little bit more about footnote 16. If you were to read footnote 16, it says, to the extent there are insufficient legislative appropriations to achieve the calculated payment amount in 21-2706, then you reduce it proportionally. When you go over and you actually pull that statute, 21-2706, the statute's very clear. It says you count how many kids under the age of 5 who are DD eligible, and you multiply by $8,503 per child per year. The statute's very clear on how that budget is to be done. I would point out, last year we actually had a bill to change that, because we actually had four or five different places in our statutes that say that the legislature does not have discretion. It is a set formula number. Last year, during that bill discussion, that part dealing with developmental disability preschools was pulled out. This body decided not to do that. They decided to leave the formula in place. My concern is this, and this is more of a policy discussion. Do we want bills being written inside of our budget bill? I think it's fine for footnotes to say, of the amount above, 10,000 shall go here, 4,000 shall go there. But when footnotes are actually writing law, in particularly law that we said no to last year, we voted on this floor, we debated it at length, and then we said no. And then here it is as footnote 16 just appears. That's the problem I think we're becoming, especially through this particular budget bill, is my major concern. We're becoming more and more like our federal friends, where we're putting things in a budget bill that are non-related to the budget. And one of the things we used to be so proud of here is one subject per bill. Now, certainly you need footnotes in your budget bill to direct money. But should we be writing law in the budget bill? And clearly here, and this is going to be a very odd thing, if this budget footnote passes, essentially you're saying notwithstanding the law. So forget about the green books. Forget about the law. The real law will be here in the budget bill. The problem is most people only know to go look in the green books. They don't know to go look in the budget bill that we passed a budget footnote that says, yeah, we know that's the law, but we're not going to follow the law. We're going to do what we decided to do over here. That is not a good system. Now, whether or not policy-wise, and I thought the good chairman of Labor Health gave a very good argument as to why we should not be doing that footnote, but again, that's a policy decision. And I think hopefully she'll bring an amendment and we can debate that. But should we, and I would hope everyone would start paying attention very closely to a lot of these footnotes throughout here, should there be footnotes in here that write law, or should the footnotes simply be assistive in showing in which direction money is to flow? And my argument would be we should not be writing law within footnotes.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to address that real quickly, because it does sound like we'll probably have a little bit of a debate on this going forward, but the good representative from Teton County leaves out one key point in his history of the last budget, and that is we adopted this exact footnote in that budget. We had that discussion, we had that debate, and we debated this footnote, and we adopted it. And so it was guidance that we believed was appropriate last time, and frankly, that's why we included it in this budget, because we thought it was guidance appropriate for this next time around. And let me answer. I did forget, and I apologize to the good representative from Fremont County. I forgot to answer one of his questions, which was, what did we do on the DD waiting list? And that was funded. We went with the Gov's rec on that. The governor requested that we fund the waiting list out to 18 months, so anyone over 18 months would be funded and brought off the waiting list, and we did that. And I can find you an exact figure, but it was around a $10 million figure that we included in the budget for that purpose.
Vice Chair Yagi.
Thank you. Just for some information, if you'll look at footnote 22, there's $500,000 general fund put into the senior services. In the budget 2 years ago, everybody was going to take a cut, and the senior citizens took their cut, but then it was given again the next year. So this just restores what was put in there, or what they shouldn't have taken out, and that's what that is. So that isn't a raise. That's just restoring a double cut that shouldn't have happened. I just thought I'd clarify that. Thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to go back a step again to the developmental preschools folks, is we've only funded them with this budget for this year going back, and that only meets maintenance of effort for the last year. It doesn't go back to the years preceding that where we haven't met maintenance of effort. And it's important that you understand that the maintenance of effort is a federal mandate. And so we're going to be talking about two separate things here. We're going to be talking about how we are meeting our federal requirements to take care of these kids, and then the things that representative from Teton County talked about is our state statutes. And we're not following our, you know, we make the law, we have to obey the laws. And he talked about the per child amount on the state statute, and then another part of the state statute in 21-2706 says that contractual payments to developmental preschool service providers shall be sufficient for the providers to provide adequate services for the children aged birth through five with developmental disabilities and delays, including compensation levels for early childhood special educators, occupational therapists, physical therapists, speech therapists that are competitive with local school district compensation levels on those categories. And currently, with the Department of Health's study that came before the Committee of Labor and Health in October, there's a discrepancy of about 26% on that funding level right now. So we've got some work to do, and we hope to be able to take care of that. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Whip.
If there are no further questions, I would go ahead and move that we close Agency 48.
Question being called. All in favor of Section 48, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
Aye.
Section 48 has passed Committee of the Whole. We're now going to move on to Section number 49, Department of Family Services. Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 49, Department of Family Services. And you'll see that on page 21 of your cheat sheet, page 41 and 42 of your budget bill. JAC adopted Governor's Letter Number 1 for $391,200 general fund for data storage. That's the ETS transition to the cloud for storage and backup. JAC adopted Governor's Letter Number 12, recommendation for $500,000 general fund to develop a statewide juvenile data system. JAC added footnote number 1, limiting residential treatment facilities and their capabilities to the levels certified as of January 1st, 2012. And JAC added footnote number 2, specifying a $274,000
federal funds, that's temporary assistance to needy families, be used to fund the Father Factor program. We've had that in the bill for about 8 years now. JAC added footnote number 3, designating the SSI supplemental payments to be to eligible recipients. You see that on page 42 of your budget bill. And we'll stand for questions.
Vice Chair Green?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Did the JEC in footnote number 1 regarding the residential treatment facilities and group homes that are certified, did they discuss whether or not private enterprise should be able to increase their numbers? So essentially residential treatment facilities that are not taking any state dollars, should they be able to increase their bed size?
Representative Escobel.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, I think what we were looking at was the capacity of those residential treatment facilities and group homes. We did get a handout on the total number of beds, where they're at in the state. It was a colored handout. Because of the house rules, I didn't distribute that one. But if you want to come to my desk and look at that, I have it available for you.
Vice Chairman Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Looking at footnote 4, the $274,000 for the Father Factor, that is a good program, but I'm just wondering, that's located right here in Cheyenne. Is there anything like this done for anywhere else in the state? Do we need to be looking elsewhere to have this same benefit, or is this just right here?
Representative Escobel.
Mr. Chairman, at this point, it's right here. 2 years ago, we did try to expand that to Natronic and Campbell County. There were about two dozen clients in those counties. The budget was cut in the last biennium. This budget footnote went back to the 2011-12 biennium. The wording in there is real similar. What I've talked to some senators about, and you can look at this in the 600-900 series of this budget, I'll use Climb Wyoming as an example, a program that helps single mothers. We currently have that funded at about $1.9 million of this same TANF funds in the budget. And they're in about 5 communities, and I realize there's a need across the state for this. We also talked about getting a program like this on the res, and it's shown great successes here, and I'm hopeful that in the future we can do some more expansion across the state with it.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question has to do with note number 2. The governor's letter number 12 to develop statewide juvenile data system. I really need some information on that. The Judiciary Committee spent most of the interim listening to testimony about juvenile data collection, and we did not accept or approve of any of it. I'd like some more details on that, please.
Representative Escobel.
Mr. Chairman, the governor realized that there wasn't a standardized database for juvenile justice, and he wants a system to gather information and identify resource gaps, trends, and successful initiatives. DFS and local law enforcement and county prosecutors need a solid data regarding juvenile offenders for effective intervention. And this data must include security components, which I'm sure is something you're concerned with, and it also has an implementation procedure to protect children.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Also following up on that same topic, that was an interim topic for Judiciary. We spent quite a lot of time on this juvenile data system, on how it would look and the money. In the end, Judiciary actually during the interim voted no to sponsor it, believing there were still a lot of issues that need to be resolved. my concern is that here you're going to budget the $500,000 and there'll be no legislative oversight as to how this data system is going to be created. I'm just curious, what was the committee's appropriations thought on, will the legislature just not have a role in this, or are we just leaving this up to the executive branch to develop the system? Because we had a very different ideas on what the system should be. I mean, for many of us on the committee, we believe the system should be, how many MIPs did you have in your county? How many, you know, littering charges did you have in your county? And you would add those up. The system that was being proposed instead by the executive branch was by each child, by each of their names, and their record would be in that. And that was the concern that the committee had. I don't have a major problem with the money, but I'm just concerned with how did you think the system was going to be developed?
Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Chairman, just to respond a little bit to that, we thought it would, we actually have a good idea of how it will be developed because it's already in use. There are counties in the state that have the exact data system that we're talking about that have been utilizing it, and really the money is to allow it to go statewide if and allow other counties to utilize the system. And one of the things that we the DFS, a number of these agencies require reports and regular reports on these juvenile offenders, and historically, at least in one of the counties we were talking to, they had two people that was essentially their job, is to fill out these reports. And with this data system, now basically they can click a button, the report's done, and they send it in. And so, really, as far as efficiency, as far as accuracy, they made a pretty good case that this was a smart expenditure of dollars. And so, yeah, we have a good idea of what it's going for because it's already in use.
Representative Escobar.
There's no further questions. I'll move Section 49.
Madam Minority Caucus Chair.
Thank you. Not yet, Representative Escobar. I've got a question going back to the question on cheat sheet footnote number 3, the one that limits residential treatment facilities and the capacity to the level certified as of January 1st, 2012. And again, on judiciary, we tend to visit facilities around the state during the interim. And I don't remember, I'm just curious if JAC received any data that we have too many beds available, et cetera. In all honesty, one of the things that kind of we've been mostly concerned about with kind of juvenile issues is that we get them treatment and the best possible treatment sooner rather than have them hit our correctional system. So to me, this looks like a footnote that limits for 4 years the available beds that could be available for juvenile. So I'm just curious if you received any information to kind of support limiting residential treatment.
Representative Escobar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And once again, that was in a handout that had a lot of color in it. I thought it would be good information for us to have distributed, but based on House rules on color copies, I didn't. I do have one coming out later on Community College Commission, because that had more lines and graphs in it. But if it's the will of the House, I'll go ahead and have that one distributed as well.
Further discussion? Question being called. All in favor of Section 49, Department of Family Services, please say aye. Opposed, say no. Section 49 has passed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I've been asked how long we're going to go. We're going to go until 4:30, and we're going to quit. That means we will have spent the whole day on the budget, not gotten as far as the speaker wanted, and not done any general file. The general file list has now grown to 30 bills. We need to finish the budget tomorrow and then do as much general file as we can, and then we'll do some general file after amendments on Wednesday. We'll do what we can Thursday, and that's it. So govern yourselves accordingly. I would suggest that some of the discussion today was not in the form of questions that was directed toward an explanation of the budget, but rather argument on amendments that have not been moved yet, at least. So I would just ask all of you to try to help me out here a little bit. I am going to be in a real bind come Thursday for which general bills on general file make it and which don't. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We're now on to Section 51 Livestock Board. Mr. Vice Chair Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 51 Livestock Board, page 22 on your cheat sheet and page 43 on the bill. Mr. Chairman, JAC adopted the governor's rec of $18,039,033. JAC added footnote number 1, page 43 of the bill, specifying that $50,000 in general fund shall only be used for a stray management. Mr. Chairman, that's the Livestock Board. Are there any questions?
Question being called. All in favor of Section 51 Livestock Board, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Section 51 has passed. We're now on Section 53, Department of Workforce Services. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've worked a number of bills, and I guess we'll work another one, the Department of Workforce Services. It's on page 22 of your cheat sheet. I move Section 53, Department of Workforce Services. It's on page 22 of your cheat sheet, page 44 of your bill. JC accepted the governor's recommendation with one modification, and that was to add footnote number 1 on page 44, making $2 million of workforce development training grant money available immediately. This money is intended to benefit companies such as this large company coming from the state to the south here and help them with their training. And that is it for workforce services. Are there any questions? Questions?
Question being called. All in favor of Section 53, Department of Workforce Services, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Section 53 is passed, committee of the whole. We're now on the Section 55 Oil and Gas Commission. Mr. Minora, Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move Agency 55 Oil and Gas Commission. You'll see that we stuck pretty closely with the governor's rec. The couple of footnotes on here, and the main issue we dealt with on the budget was regarding funding for orphan wells, and so the governor did provide a letter requesting $3 million for orphan well remediation that would be effective immediately. That recommendation is included within the bill. We also required in the footnotes that none of that money be expended until and unless the Oil and Gas Commission develops a plan for the plugging of those wells. And these are primarily CBM wells up in the northeast part of the state. And then finally, there is a footnote that talks about the commission developing rules or looking at the development of rules that would allow landowners to, instead of plugging wells, to seal wells. And it would also allow the possibility of a transfer of liability from companies to that landowner. So that, for example, if you wanted to convert one of these wells into a stock well or something like that, that mechanism might be there. But we simply directed the commission to look at that opportunity and to look at the possibility of developing regs on that issue. So if you have any questions.
Discussion on Section 55?
Seeing none, I'd move to close Agency 55.
Question being called. All those in favor of 55 say aye. Opposed, say no. Section 55 is passed, committee of the whole. We are now on to Section 57, Community College Commission. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 57, Community College Commission. And in my last presentation, we talked about colored copies. I'm getting one right now. It has to do with the JAC's motion to add $9,000 of general fund to and adding footnote number 1 to specifying the distribution of these funds and having it based on course completion and making it one-time funding, but that is in two payments, $4.5 million this year and $4.5 million next year. That's the enrollment growth piece. So if you look on that handout, you can look at a community college and see the trends of student funding on that enrollment growth as compared to the past few years as well. Then we added footnote number 2 requiring the community college to submit exception requests for their health insurance. that's an ever-changing target right there, and wanted to know how that would benefit would be funded in the future biennials. We added $35,000 general fund for rodeo recruitment to community colleges, and that was also part of the late Representative Wallace's initiative. We had looked in the Department of Tourism at the cowboy team Wyoming that we have touring. She felt that this was going to be a better use of our funds and having these cowboys program for rodeos at the colleges funded rather than that Team Wyoming program. And we agreed. Number four there, where we added the $70,000 general fund for the purpose of reducing charges to students attending athletic or other camps at community colleges. And JAC added footnote number five, specifying that those footnotes in one, three, and four are not to be distributed according to the funding model, just basically split amongst the seven community colleges. We reduced the $40,000 S5 funding, defunding the teacher shortage loan program. In that program, there was still money left from two previous bienniums in it. And then number seven, reducing the $230,000 S5, defunding the adjunct professor loan program. I think there's about $70,000 left in that program, and we are seeing some utilization in it. But that was kind of a split vote in JAC. Any questions?
Discussion? Question being called. All in favor of Section 57, Community College Commission, please say aye. Opposed, say no. Section 57 has passed committee of the whole. We're now on the Section 60, State Lands and Investments. Mr. Vice Chair Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 60, State Lands and Investments, page 25 on your cheat sheet and page 48 on your bill. Mr. Chairman, JAC adopted the governor's rec on federal forestry grants, the Transportation Enterprise Fund, and the county emergency fire suppression. The JAC added footnote 1, page 49 of the bill, directing the State Lands and Investment Board to seek legislative approval for land purchases of investment over $2 million. The JC added footnote 2, page 49 of the bill, encouraging the State Lands and Investment Board to divest the state from its interest in fiber optic lines west of Laramie and to provide a report. JC added footnote number 3, page 49 of the bill, reducing $147,300 in special funds and increasing $147,300 in general funds to the state land preservation account. The JAC added $4 million special funds from the county emergency fire suppression account for pine bark beetle remediation, and added footnote 4, page 50 of the bill, denying the governor's rec a $5 million general fund for pine bark beetle remediation. The JAC added $175,000 in general fund, 1A WAC position for tree marking, and added footnote 3, page 49 of the bill. The JAC denied governor's rec of $240,000 in general fund for two crew carriers, leaving $120,000 in general fund for one crew carrier. The JAC denied the governor's rec of $148,000 in general funds to increase helicopter availability. And the JAC moved $3 million in special funds, Section 328, court security funding, subsection B, for partial funding of court security expenses. And finally, Mr. Chairman, the JAC added footnote 5, page 50 of the bill, adding corridor beautification to the list of authorized awards for mineral royalty grants. This makes the total appropriation of $115,908,324. Are there any questions?
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have some concern about number 6. The concern is that those of us that come from communities and counties that participate in building up the county fire suppression accounts, I was curious if there was any pushback from anyone about taking that money and using it on pine bark beetle mitigation. I know our community has very tight budgets, and one of those communities that doesn't have a lot of oil and gas revenue or anything else, and we scrape by every year to try and provide the resources to fill our share of this account. And so for us to take that money and use it on pine bark beetles does not sit well with me. And I just was curious what the conversation was.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like just a little bit of an explanation. Is the mic on? All right, thank you. I would like a little explanation regarding footnote number two, the fiber optic lines west of Laramie. I just appreciate that. Thanks.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is just on footnote number one, requiring approval for purchases over $2 million. If you could just give me an estimate of what percentage of all the total purchases are over $2
million. Vice Chairman Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll start with the last one first. My guess is most all of them are. We just thought the legislature ought to be approving some of these purchases. The one on the fiber optic lines, that's dark fiber. It's not been used for quite a while, but we wouldn't be abused to you amending that one. And the last one on pine bark beetle, I'm going to defer to the chairman here. I'm not sure what the discussion was there.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The pine bark beetle is that county fire suppression account, as Chairman Education pointed out. I think there's 20 counties, and it's like a thousandth of a mill that the county participate. Most of it is state money. We've appropriated into that account the last couple of years. I think there's $18 million in there. We did this last year as well, took money from that account. And so we thought that'd be a, you know, right for wrong. I think there's three counties that don't participate. Maybe you, you know, if there's, but most of the money is, in fact, the vast majority of it's state general fund dollars. Did all the questions get asked or get answered on purchases and fiber as well?
Further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Section 60, please say aye. Opposed, say no. Section 60 is passed committee of the whole. We are now on to Section 63, Governor's Residence. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move Section 63, Governor's Residence, page 26 of your cheat sheet, page 51 of your bill. No changes to the governor's recommendation. Remember, this agency took a 10% budget cut and has been biennialized, and so it's certainly the least it's been in several biennia. I'd stand for any questions.
Speaker Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question for the good chairman of appropriations. A couple years ago, we heard that we didn't have enough silverware and dishes so that the governor's residents could serve everybody, and they were rotating food around. I was curious if we purchased those dishes and if our governor's residence has enough silverware and dishes to serve a complete meal.
Chairman Harshman.
It is my understanding of the years of dedication of this body and appropriations, and it's not an easy thing for a governor or a first lady to come ask for more money for these type of things. But during the tremendous boom we had, 2007, I think we, 2008, we finally finished off the dishes, and they can serve the guests and your members as well a complete meal. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any other discussion? Question being called. All in favor of Section 63, please say aye. Opposed, say no. Section 63 has passed committee of the whole. We are now on to Section 66, Wyoming Tourism Board. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Agency 66, Wyoming Tourism Board, and ask for your favorable consideration. While we stuck pretty closely to the governor's rec on this budget, we did make some small improvements to it. I'll just walk you through a couple of those. There was a request for two seasonal positions at the new Welcome Center here south of the capital city. We denied one of those, but did approve one of those seasonal positions. One of the main exception requests was a request for $4.5 million to expand our marketing efforts up into the Northwest. We trimmed that down by $1.86 million, leaving $2.7 million in the budget over and above what was budgeted last biennium to expand into those markets. You'll remember the film incentive program. There was a request in the budget for $900,000 to that program, but in testimony we learned that there's actually $1.2 million currently in that program that will not revert. It will stay there. And so we cut the request for the additional $900,000. And then we added, the good representative from Laramie County mentioned this just a few minutes ago, we added really to capitalize on the cowboy marketing program that has been used through PRCA events. Thanks to our good colleague from up in the northeast part of the state, she added in this provision that would allow essentially an extension of that cowboy marketing program to the collegiate level. And it includes it's $620,000. $120,000 of that is to sort of facilitate the associated travel and that sort of thing for the program. But there are sponsorships of each of the college rodeo teams in the state, including the community college teams and the University of Wyoming. There are also sponsorships included through that for the high school national finals rodeo and the college national finals rodeo, and really trying to extend that that cowboy marketing effort that we've seen be really successful at the PRCA level down to the other levels of rodeo. So if there are any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Representative Hutchings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sir, I'd like to ask a question on footnote number 2. I was in a meeting where we were talking about expansion to the northwest, and my comment was, will we stop with marketing at the northwest? Will we continue to market in the southwest, in the southeast, in the northeast, and just continue? This looks like quite a bit of money. And then can you really explain to me what's going on in footnote number 3? Explain to me these incentives and how it works. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the first question, the explanation we got, there are a couple of targeted markets in the country that they really focus on for tourism marketing. One is in the Midwest, and they've been doing, there's a number of others, but they, my understanding from the program is they try to market in areas where the media costs aren't as high, where they can get more bang for their buck, but where their polling and marketing data has shown that there's a great interest in growing the tourism market to Wyoming. And so I'm sure that if this is successful, this endeavor is successful, that we will hear back from the Board of Tourism looking at other areas of the country to market into. That's their policy decision. That's for them to come back to us. So with respect to the cowboy marketing program, if you look at on page 52 of your bill, in the footnote, it spells it out on exactly what the elements are of the program. And essentially, it allows for college athletes, rodeo athletes, to offset some of their expenses of competing. It's essentially a sponsorship. It's like we've seen in the pro rodeo, we've got these cowboys that wear the Wyoming brand, that promote Wyoming while they're competing in rodeo and try to further the image of Wyoming as a cowboy state.
For Representative Hutchings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted an explanation on the film industry incentives. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Whip. Let's talk Fifi.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure I can. I may have to follow up with you on the details, but we actually changed the eligibility for this program about 2 years ago. But it's an offset. It's a tax credit program essentially that, depending upon the amount that a company spends on filming within Wyoming, they get a credit against applicable sales tax. And you have to. There's some thresholds that you have to meet in order to be eligible for the tax credit. But that's essentially how it's expended, and it can be for any type of film program, from an actual film to a TV show to a documentary. But I can get you more details on that.
Further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Section 66 Tourism Board, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 66 is passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, can we see a show of hands? How many want to do one more?
I'd say that's the majority.
I defer to the majority.
We're now on to Section 67, University of Wyoming. Mr. Vice Chairmonies.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 67, University of Wyoming, page 27 on your cheat sheet and 53 on your budget bill. Mr. Chairman, JAC adopted Governor's Rex on the School of Energy Resources and the NCAR MOU. The JAC added footnote 1, page 53 of your bill, requiring a report from the UW trustees on the fiscal, legal, and policy implications of granting reduced tuition to neighboring states' high school graduates. The JAC adopted footnote 2, page 53 of the bill, requiring a report of the reconstruction of residence halls, funding options, and the possible timeline. Reports due October 1st, 2015. Residence halls were constructed more than 40 years ago. Recent appropriations and involved life safety improvements, sprinklers, and electrical. The JAC moved $5 million in the general fund for the arena auditorium to a capital construction page on 108 of the bill. The JAC adopted the governor's rec letter 16 for $655,900 in general funds for a second year funding of the BSL lab operations. JAC added footnote 3, page 54 of the bill, $100,000 in general fund of the athletics department for the purpose of providing increased training, support, coaching, and recruitment of Rotary Club athletes through the University of Wyoming. In addition, there shall be a report on the regulatory and financial feasibility of transitioning the Rodeo Club team to the athletics department. The JAC added footnote 4, page 54 of the bill, $100,000 in general fund to reduce room and board fees charged to high school programs for athletics and other summer programs at the university. The intent is to reduce costs and encourage student familiarity with the campus. Excuse me. JAC added footnote 5, page 55 of the bill, $2 million in general fund to match donations to athletic booster organizations to be used for student athletic recruitment, summer school attendance, nutrition tutoring, and training equipment. The JAC added footnote number 6, page 56 of the bill, $2,500,000 in general funds for enrollment incentives or enrollment penalties. The JAC added footnote 7, page 57, specifying that the university make $8 million general funds from its block grant available for funding new Tier 1 academic programs at the College of Engineering. The JAC added footnote number 8, page 57, requiring the governor's approval in consultation with the Governor's Energy Committee, Engineering, STEM, and Integration Task Force, and the Hyatt Bay Research Facility Construction Plans. The JAC added footnote number 9, page 57, directing the university to transfer up to $5 million general funds from its block grant to the University Endowment Challenge account to provide scholarship matching funds by October 1st of 2015. The JAC moved $5 million in general funds to a separate line item within the university appropriation entitled Endowments for the purposes of endowing petroleum engineering chair. The JAC moved $7,500,000 general fund to a separate line item within the UW appropriation entitlement Endowments for the purposes of creating an academics facility challenge fund, specifically for the High Bay Research Facility. The JAC added footnote number 10, page 58 of the bill, specifying $5 million general funds be used for the endowment matching program for purposes of endowing a chair for petroleum engineering. And finally, Mr. Chair, the JAC added footnote 11, authorizing the university to spend up to $7,500,000 in general fund for the purposes of an academic facilities challenge fund for the High Bay Research Facility. Are there any questions?
Discussion. Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of Section 67, University of Wyoming, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Oh, was there? Section 67 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report with respect to the action taken today in Committee of the Whole on Budget Bill, House Bill 1.
You have heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Motion carries.
Reading clerk will read the committee of the whole report.
Mr. Speaker, with respect to the budget bill, House Bill number 1, Section 1 adopted, Section 2 adopted, Section 3 adopted, Section 4 adopted, Section 5 adopted, Section 6 adopted, Section 7 adopted, Section 8 adopted, Section 9 adopted, Section 10 adopted, Section 11 adopted. Representative Brown moved that the House rise and sit again. Section 14 adopted, Section 15 adopted, Section 20 adopted, Section 21 adopted, Section 23 adopted, Section 24 adopted, Section 27 adopted, Section 29 adopted, Section 32 adopted, Section 37 adopted, Section 39 adopted, Section 40 adopted, Section 41 adopted, Section 42 adopted, Section 44 adopted, Section 45 adopted, Section 48 adopted, Section 49 adopted, Section 51 adopted, Section 53 adopted, Section 55 adopted, Section 57 adopted, Section 60 adopted, Section 63 adopted, Section 67 adopted.
66.
And Section 66 adopted.
Representative Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move for adoption of today's action on the budget bill.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion is adopted pursuant in accordance with Joint Rule 14.1. For the committee, the whole action will be continued until the next legislative day. Congratulations, Representative Swanitzer. We're now at that order of business of standing committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 127, Disclosure of Juvenile Probation Information, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Gingery, Halverson, Miller, Walters, and Watt. Those who voted no, Representatives Connolly and Croker. One excuse, Representative Crone, signed by Representative Gingery, Chairman. Your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 128, Juvenile Courts and Sanctions, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingery, Halverson, Croker, Miller, Walters, and Watt, one excuse, Representative Crone, signed by Representative Gingery, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 102, Sage Grouse Implementation Team, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Blevins, Davison, Freeman, Gay, Halverson, Hutchings, Yagi, and Pete Marinen. Those excused, Representative Crone, signed by Representative Davison, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 19, Notary Fees, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Green, Kirkbride, Nader, Paxton, Petroff, Dan Swanitzer. One no, Representative Gay. One excuse, Representative Byrd. Signed by Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 20, Fire Prevention and Electrical Safety Fees, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Nader, Paxton, Petroff, and Dan Swanitzer. One excuse, Representative Byrd, signed by
Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 47, Government Royalty Revenues Definition, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Green, Kirkbride, Petroff, and Danswanitzer, 3 no votes, Representative Gay, Mader, and Paxton, 1 excused, Representative Byrd, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 96, Professional Assistance Programs, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Mader, Paxton, Petroff, and Danswanitzer, 1 excused, Representative Byrd, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
Right now, at that order of business, of messages from the Senate.
Message number 120. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on the third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 6, groundwater contested cases, ayes 27, noes 3. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 121. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 14, court security funding. Ayes 30, no 0. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 122. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 18, counties and legal publications. Ayes 29, no 0. 1 conflict. Sincerely, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 123. The bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 19, cities and towns, legal publications, ayes 29, conflict 1, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 124. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 20, local governments and legal publications, ayes 29, 1 conflict. Sincerely, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 125. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 41, select Federal Natural Resource Management Committee, ayes 23, noes 7, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 126. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 51, workers' compensation coverage, ayes 29, noes 1, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 127. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on the third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 54, reports to the legislature, ayes 30, noes 0, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 128. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 59, specific service signage on highways, ayes 30, noes 0. Sincerely, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 129. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 74, unemployment insurance coverage, fiduciaries, ayes 30, noes 0, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 130. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on the third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 43, prioritization of municipal solid waste facility products or projects. Ayes 28, noes 2, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
We're at that order of business of re-referral of bills. Are there any bill re-referrals? Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to re-refer House Bill 102, Sage-Grouse Implementation Team, to Appropriations.
Without objection, it's so ordered. Are there any bill re-referrals? We're at that order of business of committee announcements. Chairman Berger. Or Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Your committee, Corporations Number 7, will meet tomorrow, Tuesday, February 18th, upon noon recess. We will hear House Bill 98, State Investment Services, House Bill 13, UCC Liens, Electronic Filing, House Bill 14, Business Entities Revisions, House Bill 15, Business Entities Enforcement and Penalties, House Bill 101, Electronic Vote Centers and Electronic Poll Books, and House Bill 146, Study of State Human Resource Positions.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number one, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to take up House Bill 105, Unmanned Aerial Surveillance, House Bill 155, Electronic Citation Fees, House Bill 100, Investigative Subpoenas, and then at noon in 302, we'll move down to 302, we'll take up House Bill 77, Student Religious Liberties. And also, just to remind everyone, tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., the Wyoming Youth Services Association has their annual breakfast. It's just down in the Herschler Building. But these are all your group homes, your residential treatment facilities, all the ones that are in your community. It's 7 a.m. tomorrow morning down in the Herschler Building down there in the basement.
Chairman Simlett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee, number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands and Water Resources, will meet tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. in room H11 to hear House Bill 72, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, House Bill 152, Water Research, House Bill 79, Critical Access Hospital Endowment Challenge Program, House Bill 149, Correctional Industries, and House Bill 178, Computer Trespass. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet tomorrow night, 10 minutes after adjournment, in H-17 with a revised schedule. We will first hear House Bill 12, 80 miles per hour speed limit. Then we will hear House Joint Resolution number 5, Moose Wilson Roadway. And then House Bill 165, Game Roadkill. Then we will have two towing bills. One of them will be House Bill 29, Non-Consensual Towing Rotation List, and House Bill 116, Towing Company Regulations.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet at 8 o'clock in the morning in H-10. And we have two bills, House Bill 157, which is Tourism Promotion, and House Bill 163, which is Game and Fish Restitution Values.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet 10 minutes upon adjournment, where we will continue hearing House Bill 73, State Employment Persons with a Disability, House Bill 120, Employee Drug Testing Vulnerable Adults, House Bill 99, Workers' Comp for Special Education Teachers, and House Bill 173, School Administration of Epinephrine.
Good work today on the budget, folks. It's our primary focus, and you've done excellent work. Oh, Chairman Davison, again.
Mr. Chairman, I correct myself. It's not tomorrow morning. It's Wednesday morning.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman Davison. Anyway, good work on the budget. It's our primary focus. Just a warning, that screaming you hear off in the distance are bills dying an untimely death as we run out of time and they fall off the cliff. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn and sit again tomorrow, February 18, 2014, at 9:30 a.m.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House is adjourned until tomorrow, February 18, 2014, at 9:30 a.m.